Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today the final episode from A Greater Than Solomon, which is a work I put together to address child abuse among Christians. Yeah, it does happen. Sometimes it's just human weakness. We make mistakes. We yell or we hit or we do things we shouldn't do. And we repent of it and we're sorry and we move on, hopefully. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about planned abuse. I'm talking about looking at the scriptures in a way that is not appropriate, not listening to the Holy Spirit's program for today, depending exclusively on Solomon. Great as he was, wise as he was, there is a greater than Solomon that's here. And he wants to perhaps incorporate Solomon, but these people use Solomon exclusively, and because of that, they become child abusers, thinking that they are obeying God, just as those who obey Moses and think that they're obeying God, even though they're in the New Covenant dispensation, even though we realize that the church is here, the Holy Spirit is here, the New Covenant is here, and it doesn't do away with the law of God, but it does allow that law of God from the old way to be incorporated through the leading of the Spirit. We do stay away from murder and adultery, as the commandments would say. But we do it because the Spirit is in us, creating a new person in us. Anyway, there are some things. The people of God and among the survivors would like. Please understand this. There are people of God among the survivors. I say that because the homes, the people who run the homes, often feel that the people who come out and don't like what happened to them must be no good. They must be fleshly. They must be worldly. They must be from the devil. They're going to hell anyway. But they would be a little bit surprised to find out that so many of these survivors, and that's what they call themselves, have gone on to lead happy lives in Christ, successful lives in Christ, and they look back to their experience in these homes as a tragedy that they hope that no one else will ever have to go through. And sometimes they come back, give their testimony online, protest at these homes. Not that they don't have anything else to do as moms and grandmothers, some of them, but that they just want to warn people, stay out of this place. Now, not all Christian homes, I'm talking about institutions, not all of them are bad places. There are some good ones. You got to look, though. You got to do the homework. Don't just accept anything that people say. If they won't let you look at it firsthand, maybe even stay there a while, then that's the wrong place for you. Be very careful. There are people who suffered, though. I know that these people, because I'm in touch with a bunch of them, I know that they're not after blood. They're not after imprisonment, necessarily. Some of them are. We're talking about some who did fall away from the Lord because of this home, who did suffer great damage the rest of their life. Yes, they're blaming, and they shouldn't blame. They should get over it. Rah, yeah, I got it. But it's easy to say that, isn't it? It's easy to say, get over it. When you're the cause of a great dilemma in a person's life, it's easy for you to say, well, just get over it. It's all right. It's going to just grow up. And I've heard all of that from some of these places. But a lot of these people are Christians now. They're God-fearing people, and they're not calling for vengeance. They know that belongs to the Lord. But there are some things they would like that would bring, as we say, closure in their minds. For when they think back, and you're not supposed to, I know, as a Christian, you're not supposed to think back, but they do anyway. And they think back, and it tortures them, and they just wish that somebody at these homes would come forward and do something and say something, like maybe a written admission that abuse did take place. Maybe admission that the policies arrived at by these homes were mistaken, and they since have been repudiated, hopefully, and repented of. That would make them feel really good. Maybe apologies from the heart for having sent young girls or young men into the world with a taste of Christ that was so bitter. Yeah, that's what they thought Christ was about, the bitter experience that they had in that place, almost a North Korea communist concentration camp feeling when they came out, and that's who Jesus is. That's what he's come to do. Oh. They would like maybe to be reconciled. They wish that the people of those places would repent and offer and try to be reconciled with the offended parties. In ongoing ministry, these are things I have added. If these ministries are going to go on, then we would ask that they submit to the greater body of Christ, not try to do this on their own. Formation of an interchurch committee, and not just your kind of church, you know. Reach out to the greater body of Christ and ask for a person here and a person there to come together and oversee the home, and don't think you're supposed to just lock the doors and do all this by yourself. It would be good if there was unfettered access of present and future residents. No more monitored calls, no more censored letters. These do happen. Anytime visits from family and local churches, that would be nice. Local churches, just pastor comes by, say, I'd like to just check it out, and don't you don't have to make any prep, just let me look around. Oh, no problem, come on in. I know at your house you wouldn't like somebody just stopping in like that, but these are people who need to be responsible to the body of Christ, and so the body of Christ, the genuine people, need to be able to just come in and see. Stop this prison mentality, tear down that wall, as Reagan said, and tear it down. Maybe an abuse hotline connected to the pastors of the local churches. Person gets in trouble over there and they have a way that they can call somebody. But they're not locked in to just the people around them who have their instructions, their agenda. Just a thought or two. What a testimony to the body of Christ this would be. What a clearing of the air. What a spirit of repentance that would be felt throughout the churches. Many who enter Christian ministry homes are part of the church before they enter. This is not to say they were saved or on their way to heaven, just church people. They believed in God. They understood, quote, discipline. They knew there were rules to be obeyed. They respected the church in some way. But for many of the survivors, the pendulum has swung to quite the extreme. Many don't believe in God at all now. Many who do believe in him don't want anything to do with his church, definitely don't want anything to do with his rules. They've shut their Bibles for the last time. Many repudiate the whole idea of discipline at all of the physical sort. Even if it's given in small and truly loving doses, they say no. Away with all of it. We'll do it some other way. It's all out the window. And so when I was talking about and am talking about a greater than Solomon, you know, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, is the greater than Solomon. And when you go to him, he might say, he might impress you very clearly, you've got to spank this child. Not beat in the modern usage of that word. I know that's a Bible word. I know. Don't get all over me. It's a Bible word, but not bruise, not hurt, but get their attention. The Holy Spirit might say that. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with a certain amount of that. What's wrong is when that's the solid diet. That's all you know. That's plan A, that's plan B, and that's plan C. Whenever they do something wrong, get them to the room where we do these things and beat the crap out of them with a board. Is that how Jesus does things? Whatever that home taught, say these victims of today, they must be false. All that Bible stuff they gave us must be false. I was sharing at my mother's funeral a couple years ago, and there was a question about where the house was going to go. You know how those things rise up at those times. It wasn't quite clear what was supposed to happen, and I was being offered a deal, you know, because it was coming to me, and I was offered a deal. And I didn't like the deal, but I gave the funeral stuff. I talked about my mother and talked about the Lord. And afterwards, everybody came up to me and said, "Oh, that was so good. That was so good. We really like what you taught." Then I made it known to the proper people, "The deal's off. I can't accept your deal. I want you to know," everything just changed. It all turned. They began hating what I was talking about. And that's how people are. And so people have gone to this home while they were right there. Maybe they thought it was the teaching was good. But slowly, slowly, as they got beaten and as they got abused in this way and that way, they began to think maybe this Bible stuff isn't true at all. And some of them never got over that. Never got over it. Based on the pain that they feel to this very day. My appeal to those people, to those victims, and to those who sympathize with them, is not to allow the pendulum to swing so far in your own ideas about being raised and raising children and about Jesus. Too much discipline is awful. Too little discipline or zero discipline is likewise awful, maybe worse. Beware of carrying anything to an extreme except fervent love for the greater than Solomon Jesus. Surely this one lesson we can learn from all that's happened. Well, in an odd sort of way, I have to join those abused people who are thanking God for their evil experience. Yeah, you follow me here? There are some. And I think these are the cream of the crop here. I hate to categorize people, but it really takes a lot of grace of God. Praising God, not you people, but God was able to let these people see that evil experience, and it was an evil experience. Let's please assume that. So many, many, many testimonies, they aren't all lying, folks. They aren't all lying. They've come out of it. They look back and say, "That was awful, but you know, God used that awful, awful experience to make me a better person." Now, that was not how it was supposed to happen, but it happened that way. In negative ways, it helped, they say, make me a better person. And I can say the same way, it helped me be a better man to hear about it by seeing how people can be hurt this way and how I made some of the same mistakes, but they were mistakes to me. I didn't want to hurt anybody else again. And I was remorseful of the ways I had treated my own charges in past years. I determined I won't waste any more time with flawed disciplinary measures in connection with my present responsibilities. Well, I make that determination, but I'm still who I am, and things happen. All things do work together for good, though, for those that love God. For those that love God, finish the verse. God used that abused child's story and the brave people who tell it to work a change in my life, and I thank you. Though parents and others are often called to discipline, the ultimate work of this and many other activities is not in our hands. God will judge the world one day. We don't judge it now. God will make everything right by force one day. That's not our agenda now. Nations will topple. We don't topple nations now. A wise man in Christ knows what is his to do and what belongs to God. Yeah, you remember that old song, 16 going on 17, Sound of Music, huh? Maria singing to the oldest of the seven children about how life is going to unfold for her if she can wait. When you're 16 going on 17, waiting for life to start. Somebody kind who touches your mind will suddenly touch your heart. When that happens, after it happens, nothing is quite the same. Somehow you know you'll jump up and go if ever he calls your name. Well, these teen years are the wonder years for sure. Everything's changing. You're not a child. You're not an adult. And many kind voices come along trying to take the heart away. Well, it's the goal of the parent and the church to allow that young lady to hear the voice of Jesus, another kind voice, not the one that's thundering from Sinai, although you've got to tell them about sin, but pleading from Calvary. The gentle, kind voice saying, "Follow me. I'm meek. I'm lowly of heart." I fail to see how a beating of, or any of the devices that was used by abusers and is still being used, how that puts a person in touch with Jesus, except in the way that a prison sentence might do it. Don't we have anything better to offer than the law enforcement agencies of our land? Can no troubled teen come to Jesus simply because Jesus invites? Will the disciples of Solomon and trigger-happy paddle wielders ready to punish but not to listen, will they carry the day? Does every child need to be beat into submission? Isn't there something wrong with that picture? Oh, you say, but it works. Meaning I was able to get a victory over my child, or meaning that now my child has come to love Jesus? Uh-huh. Oh, you got to answer that one. Alexander the Great, or so the legend goes, had a soldier in his charge that was noted for his cowardice, but also named Alexander. The great leader exhorted him, they say, to change thy name or mend thy manners. I'm not sure how that comes out in the Macedonian language, but it does work in English. And may any who have read this, listened to this, who call themselves Christians, author included, never participate in activities that will give the wonderful name of Jesus a foul odor. We really are being watched. Our day-to-day actions do mean something. To admit to this narrative also will bring on cries of accuser of the brethren. Yeah, it's the devil that accuses Christians, one will say. Yes, I've read the book of Job, too. The devil himself appears before God himself and begins to berate a good, upright man about whom no human had ever brought an accusation before. He questioned his motivations, did the devil. And God was up to the challenge. Job eventually passed the test too, and never cursed God like the enemy said he would. Now that seems to be, I hope it is, a far cry from what I and many other Christians now are doing. I mean, many of the young people who are in this fight truly still claim the Christian faith, these victims, in spite of what they endured. Are they and I accusers of the brethren? The brethren who run these houses of abuse? Was John the Apostle an accuser of the brethren when he came publicly in written form against the bully, Diotrephes? 3 John verse 9. Was Paul accusing the brethren when he announced in a letter that Demas had forsaken him because he loved this present world more than the promised one? 2 Timothy 4:10. We don't accuse these men before God. We pray for these men. We've asked them to consider their actions and repent of things that cannot be squared with the Scriptures. We ask them to have mercy on a lot of grown women and men still struggling with nightmares due to their stay in an abusive home. These are not my charges. I'm speaking on behalf of the many who crippled my heart with their stories. Who's going to hear us? Who will hear them? Who will understand what's being said? What else can we do besides cry? I hope that doesn't sound like accusing the brethren. You go to a Google search. You want to do something? You want to help? Go to a Google search. It's going to turn up dozens of websites. Look for abused children's homes. Children of abuse in Christian homes. Educate yourself as much as possible. And then join in the protest of unmonitored homes. Not so that governments will influence the teachings within our church, but so that concerned citizens will protect children from those who would harm them, knowingly or unknowingly. Above all, pray. Ask God what you should do. I was sitting in a church the other day. I was trying to keep up with the song, but I was having trouble because one of the musicians was playing off key and clashing with the rest of us. Someone needed to have a little talk with the good brother, or was it a sister? I'm not going to say, to help get us all on the same page. It's the opinion of many believers, and definitely many victims of many homes, that someone is playing off key. I suppose we could ignore it, try to sing somewhere else, or better, maybe have a little talk with the persons involved. There's a lot to learn on both sides. This report was meant to be such a talk. Please pass it on. Have a little talk of your own, in your own way, in your own time. That's all I have to say. That was the final episode. We'll wrap it up now. Won't probably be talking much about this anymore. I don't think so. I don't know what the plan is, the Lord's plan, for me to continue doing stuff or not doing stuff, but this is where I have to bow out for the present. Do hope that you'll look around the website that you're on right now and find some other good things. Good things, meaning things that you need to pray about. And this isn't a good thing I'm talking about. North Korea is not a good thing, but it's something you need to pray about. And it's all over my website. Hundreds of audios. I hope that you'll look for it. And visit my new website, FaulknerTales.com, where I tell stories and look for Jesus in those stories. And new stuff just about every day. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we will talk again real soon. Bye-bye.